go into the Christmas season, I thought we'd just re-emphasize what God's passion is. And tonight's message I've called God's Passion is People, all right? And as you can see that from our church perspective, whether it be rescuing the girls in Cambodia, to seeing people saved, to seeing them healed, to seeing our Red Frogs crew just do incredible things, it's all about people. And you've got to understand the reason we do all this is because God's passion is people. Everything that we do, it's not about buildings, it's not about program. We have buildings, we do program, but it's not about buildings, it's not about program, it's about people. God is into people. It's His great passion. Look what it says in John 10:10. It says this, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and then they may have it more abundantly. The whole plan of Jesus coming is because He's got an incredible heart for people. He goes on in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where again, Jesus speaks and says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So Jesus turns up on the planet not to point a long finger at us saying, you know what, you did it all wrong, you should have known better, how come you did that? No, no, Jesus never came to condemn the world, but through Him that we might be saved. So the plan of God is not to judge humanity, it's to love humanity. God's passion is people. And He even goes to the point that when we get to know Him, then He actually commissions us to do the same thing, to go out and to love people. And so He doesn't just love everybody, He gets the people that now believe in Him, that follow Him, to be on that same boat, that same place of saying, you know what, now that you love me, then show the love you have for me by the love you have for one another. And he speaks it into being in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And these are the last words that Jesus speaks on the planet. And you know, with last words, you can say anything. And what you do with last words, though, is you make it the most important thing that you can say. This is it. It's the last chance. This is it. He's going to speak to us before He leaves. And He says these words. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, and go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. Lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus' last command to the church was the same as where He came for, is to have great passion for the people. He says, go into all the world, make disciples, care for them, look after them, bless them, heal them, set them free, deliver them. Make sure that they're not being stolen away by the enemy, but they have life and life more abundantly. God's passion is always and has always been people. And we recognize this verse as the great commission. Listen, not the great suggestion. The great commission to find somebody, to engage somebody, to bless somebody, to pray for somebody, to help somebody, to invite somebody, to care for somebody. That is the great commission. It's all about people. And all of us, really, while we have breath in our lungs, as believers, we should have our hands on somebody else's life. We should be somewhere touching somebody for good, touching somebody for better, helping somebody get through that mess, helping them get past that obstacle, help them getting healed, whatever it is, but we should have our hands on other people's lives making a difference. The only way this happens, listen, this hasn't happened because we're supposed to do it. We better do it. No, we do this because we follow the passion of God and have passion for the people around us. You won't be a person that touches other people's lives out of duty. You'll only do it out of passion for the people that God has put you in touch with. And therefore, there's got to be a continual resurgence of our love. And it's not as if we're going to like everybody. You know, it's not about just the good people. It's not just about the bad. It's about everybody God cares about. And this happens when we get passionate like God about the people around us. Not because we're supposed to, but because we have the heart of God aflame in our lives. You're not going to do this out of obligation. You're not going to do it because it's a program. You're going to do it because something's alive inside of you. And that is the Great Commission, not to do it out of a commandment, but to do it out of a heart for humanity, to have the same passion that God has, and everything we do should be and is always about people. Let's have a look at the book of Luke. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and it's the story of a bunch of fishermen. And it says this, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake," and I can't pronounce that, "and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a great catch.' But Simon answered him and said, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking." It's interesting here that you will notice that they've been out all night fishing and they've caught absolutely nothing. Anybody else fish like that? Out all night, caught absolutely nothing. Now, the dilemma is right here. They could have given up on the plan of the program and said, you know what, man, I've had enough. It doesn't work. They could have been at home watching TV, could have been out doing all sorts of things. Yet Jesus catches them, not at home, not out in the marketplace, but mending their nets, fixing their gear, cleaning their stuff. Why? Because even though they caught nothing that night, they were going out the next night to catch fish. What these men were passionate about their fishing. They were passionate about their purpose, which was catching fish. And therefore, when you're passionate, you pay the price. It's not an obligation, it's a duty. It's you know that you're passionate about something, you're gonna go down that track. And it's important that we understand this. Look, a little while back, I remember a pastor's conference in Melbourne, and at the time they got in a guy called Philip Adams. And he's not a Christian. As a matter of fact, he's one of Australia's leading vocal atheists in the country. He also writes for one of the newspapers down south. And he spoke to this group of pastors, not a believer at all. He is very anti-Christian, very anti-God. But he said this to the pastors. He said this, "For Christians to say they believe what they believe and not be passionate about their cause would to me be the highest form of blasphemy." From an atheist. If you say you believe what you believe and you're not passionate about that, then really you've got it all wrong. So there's got to be a real sense of how we come together, why we come together, why we put money in an offering bag, why we go to Red Frogs over the week, why we do this. It's all about the passion God has, and His passion is about human beings. It's about people. It's about every one of them, the good, the bad, the ugly. Doesn't matter what it is. It's about every one of them. To be passionate about the things that God is passionate for. We've got to have a great love for God and a great love for people. You know, if we're going to see the kingdom of God build to another level, you know, it's not that you're going to walk out of here with a sense of duty, though that's important. It's not that you're going to walk out of here with a sense of information, though that's important to know what you're talking about and reason. I want to tell you, the way you're going to convince people to believe in Jesus and come to a house like this is not because of your great wisdom or great knowledge, it's because of your passion for God and what He can do for them. Passion is the great persuader. Passion is what stirs or alerts the ears to a possibility or a potential. It's something that we've got to take from. You don't want to do your Christianity like you've been sucking lemon juice or somebody's pulled your nose hairs out with tweezers. You want to do your Christianity with a sense of passion, because that is the great persuader. That's the thing that will get people's interest. What? You love Jesus? What? You're a Christian? What? You're not? You know, there's a sense of passion. What, you don't know God? That sense of, that's what alerts people to the possibility of change. Not just reason, not just information, but His passion is your great persuader. And if Jesus walked around the planet, I watch Him over and over again, He'd just walk past people and say, "Follow me." And they just jump up and say, "Okay." Why? Because He carried that passion for the kingdom of God within. And so it's you and I have got to walk with that same passion. Remember the crocodile hunter? I mean, one of Australia's lead, I mean, he was like, in Australia, yeah, he's stupid. But in America, I mean, like we pick up taipans and all that sort of thing. But overseas, man, he was a legend to people. And they loved him dearly. And I met him on a plane coming back from LA one day. And I want to tell you, he was the same off the plane as he was on the thing. He was passionate about animals. He loved them. I mean, he was famous all over the world, not because of his great oratory skills, not because of his great ability to know what zoological terms were. It certainly wasn't because of his understanding of workplace health and safety. But it was his great passion, where you'd be watching something and all of a sudden a bug you would have stood on a couple of minutes ago and love the pop. It's starting to go, oh my God, and you got a bumper sticker, love the bug. I mean, everything changed because of somebody's great passion. Passion is the great persuader. And it's you and I, if we're going to build the kingdom of God at not just an average level, but at a booming level, at a multiplication level, it will come not because we know some stuff, it's because we're passionate about the God who saved us. And we're passionate about the people He wants to save around us. Like Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, Jesus starts to show His passion now. You know, he got there, He preached a message out of the boat. He took the boys to a place where they were passionate, and he threw out the net, got them to throw out the nets. They caught a whole bunch of fish. Why? Because He knew their passion was fishing. So He got them in that place of passion, and then He says, this is wonderful, aren't you excited? And they're all, this is awesome. And then He points them to His passion, and that's in verse 10 and 11. And it says this, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. He got them in a moment of passion where they felt this adrenaline rush, felt this excitement. And then He turned to them and said, you know what? I know your passion is fish, but my passion is people. And I'm gonna swing your hearts in this moment right here from a bigger purpose than fish into a possibility of catching men for the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you tonight, the plan of God once you get saved is that you swing your passion from whatever it was to His passion, which is about reaching people for the kingdom of God in a greater measure. And it doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter what career you're in. It's not as though you throw it all in. No, but in that world that you live in, God is calling you not to become fishers of that purpose only, but fishers of men. That in your world, you start to fish for these people. You start to love these people. You start to care for these people. You start to invite these people. Because God's purpose, God's passion is not fish, it's people. It's people. God's passion. And so to be His followers, our passion has to be people as well. It has to be that sense of, you know what? God loves every man. He's come to bring life and life. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come to point the finger. He's not worried if you're naughty or nice. He's looking at you saying, you need me in a powerful way. And if we can turn our passion towards God and our passion towards people, then you start to see the kingdom of God go to a new level of multiplication. Because it's not out of duty or obligation or plan or program. It's that we're passionate about bringing life to the generation that we live in. And you understand, people are worth investing into. So every person is worth, man, if they were stocks and shares, people would be blue chip. If they were a watch, people would be a top of the range Rolex watch. If people were a computer, of course they'd be an Apple computer. If people were coffee, they wouldn't be instant or decaf. They'd be West End, specially brewed coffee. If people were a day, they'd be a great day, the perfect day. It'd be the day where you could sleep in till 10, but were still able to see the sun rise. You'd be in a five-star resort in Fiji, on the balcony, having breakfast, and the kids would be there with your wife, and your kids would come in and smile, and as soon as they got annoying, you'd click your fingers and they'd disappear. It'd be a perfect, if people were a day, they would be a perfect day. If they were a joke, they'd be a really funny joke. You see, people are worth investing into. They are God designed and God created. People are Buzz Lightyears, not Mr. Potato Heads. There's got to have that sense of value to people. People are incredible. Sure, there's some bad ones. I know that. But really, most people generally just need Jesus. They're bad because they don't know any other way. They're bad because life spat them up and chewed them up and spat them out the other side. They're angry and frustrated and hurt. But they all have a story and they're all important to God. Some have the most sad, tragic stories in the world. Some have the most overcoming, amazing, miraculous stories. Some have had it really easy in life, and some have had it so tough, it's amazing they can get up in the morning and walk through life. You know, as I've been in this church about 14 or 15 years now, and it's really funny how people get indignant about some things. And I remember early on, we used to get a bunch of people that used to smoke out the front there around there, and maybe you still do, I don't know. And I remember people complaining, you know, that can't believe you're walking to church and somebody's over there having on a cigarette. And I look at them and say, you know what? I wouldn't get too upset with that, really. You know, like, you don't know their story. You know, you don't know what they could have been a month ago being on crack cocaine, you know, or a drug addict or an alcoholic. And the last thing they've got to deal with is their smoking. You don't know. Don't judge people like that. You don't know their story. You don't get God's not getting up. You don't get not into heaven by smoking. You get there quicker. And we can prejudge somebody, you know, like, what are they doing that? But you don't know their story. That's the least of their issues. They could have come out incredible stuff. Don't judge people. Love people. They're all worthwhile. They're God created. They all should have a future and are designed by God. They're amazing. People are incredible. God, as a matter of fact, I remember I walked down, like, about a couple of months ago, I walked down the outside and there was a couple of kids having a smoke down there. Kids could be 30, I don't know. In my age, it could be 45. They didn't know who it was. It was sort of dark. And I was going close. I said, how's it going, guys? And they could see who it was. They've had this revelation like it's, oh my gosh, it's Pastor Mark. You should have seen him get rid of that cigarette. It was on the ground and blowing smoke like this. And that's incredible power I have, you know, when I walk past people like that. Another time I walked down there and there was this guy and this girl up against the side of the building, sort of, you know, making out a little bit. And as I walked past, they said, hey, how's it going, guys? And I turned around, oh, we should have seen the blood rush from their faces, man. Oh, no, wasn't touching her. Wasn't really. No, don't prejudge people, because every person's got a story. Love people. God did not come to judge or condemn people, but through him that they might be saved. And our heart has got to be the same. It's not about how good they are, how bad they are. It's that we're to love them with the love of God, because love is God's way of expressing his great passion towards them and ours. People are surprising. The stories in this room would blow your mind. Where people have come from, what they do for a living, what they used to do for a living. The things that go on in this room. I remember in my first church in Noosa, we got a guy come in one time, and he had about four or five children, and he was dressed, he had long sort of dreadlocky hair, and he was dressed in suspenders, we're in Noosa, so he lived up in Karan on a little farm, and he grew his own vegetables, mung beans, I think, and all that sort of thing, and he'd come to church with this cute little family, and we were going, yeah, hey, good to, you know, da-da-da-da, and one day he spoke about his testimony, and of course, I didn't think it was going to be that exciting. I mean, how exciting can it be living in Karan, growing mung beans in suspenders, you know, really? But he was South African, and it was during a season where South Africa was at war with Angola, and he was a trained assassin. He was in what they called the death squad, and his job would be to drop inside, over and behind enemy lines, take out a bunch of people and then make their way back. And as he's telling his story, he would share that how he used to shoot people at point blank range. and not worry him whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they would bury the bodies and then they would break out a cask of whiskey and party over their dead bodies. He was a man that was a trained assassin. And here he was with his long hair and his mung beans and his suspender belts. And what happened was, he was in a helicopter flight back from a mission and his helicopter was shot down and it hit the ground. When he woke up, the other 18 people or 17 people or whatever from the helicopter were all dead. He was the only person alive, left alive out of his whole group. And at that moment, sitting in the middle of a whole bunch of dead people, he said, you know what, there must be another purpose for my life than killing people. He gave his life to Jesus, turned his life right around and it was on fire for God. He moved to Australia. Everybody's got a story. And it's really important we don't prejudge people because of the way they look or what they look like now or what we think about them because they are God designed. And there's a future or a plan for every one of those things. You know, it's even really funny when I travel a lot on planes and I'm sitting next to people and we start to talk and often the question is, oh, what do you do for a living? And as soon as I say, well, I'm a pastor, it goes really quiet. It really, the conversation, just drops. It just, ooh, man, bang, end of conversation. They get busy doing something else and the whole thing. And it really annoys me because really I'm really quite a surprising person. I've got a really good story. They prejudged me already. And it's sad that we as believers can end up doing the same thing to other people that don't fit our category or fit our mold. But everybody's got a story. Everybody's valuable in the eyes of God. He didn't come to save some, he came to save all. The church is not here for a few, it's for many. As much as we are doing well as a church and growing and seeing people saved and set free, there are many more people that God wants to reach through us. You know, it's important that we keep seeing that God's passion, you know, we do building, but it's not about the building, it's about people. It's not about the programs. Red Frogs isn't about the program. It's about people. Our rescue home and camp is not about a mission. It's about rescuing young children out of slavery. It's always about a person. Don't prejudge people. I remember when I first got saved, I was really excited and on fire for God. Not that I'm not now, I guess. I am still pretty revved up about it. Something 20-something years later. And I'm in this church in Melbourne and they're starting stuff. And I see this guy down the front row. It was back in the 80s. You got to remember this, right? And I saw this guy and he had bits of jewelry hanging out of his ears and he had a leather jacket on. And he had that hair. You know the hair that goes like this? You know, that cones, like ice cream cones. So he was there, and I'm, gee, you know, man. And as I'm seeing him, I'm just saved, and I'm saying, man, it's his night. I'm going to believe for him to get saved. And whatever's wrong, that God, you'd touch his life tonight. And I'm praying, and in the worship and everything. And then we all sit down, and one of the lead pastors gets up. He said, now we're going to come in here for the youth pastor to come up and tell us what's going on. And guess who got up? The guy with the medal. The guy with the hair and the leather, he didn't need to get saved. I needed to get saved again for prejudging. He was the youth pastor, for goodness sake. I mean, look at Joel's beard, for goodness sake. Who would have thought he'd be a youth pastor with a beard like that? You see, don't prejudge people. People are amazing. People are incredible. You just got to dig a bit. You just got to reach into their world a little bit. And passion allows you to do that because to God, they're everything. And it's so important that we understand this. People are God's passion and you're included in that passion. Every one of us here, you know, passion reaches out. Passion goes through trials and difficulties. Why? Because it sees it through the eyes of joy and opportunity. If you're passionate, you don't look at what you're giving or what you're going through. More, you're looking at the return and what's coming back. Passion always sees past the problem into the potential or the possibility. I remember I used to be really passionate about fishing trips up to Fraser Island. And it's so funny, the stuff you would go through. I remember one trip up there, we had a four-wheel drive. It wasn't a good one. We started a stormy night. We're going to drive all the way up the beach to Fraser Island. And on the way there, within 2 hours, we had three flat tires. 3, and I went down there, 2 spares. So there was 1 bad wheel for the rest of the trip, all right? And then we get there and it's storming and we finally breaks up enough to go fishing. So we go outside to fish and it's a swarm of mosquitoes. They sucked us dry. It was like vampires on heat. I mean, it was crazy. And then finally the fish come on and we caught all these fish. You know, it was the greatest fishing trip of our lives. See, passion, you see past the problem and you see the return or the prize of what you're passionate about. And if we're passionate about God and the things of God and the people He wants to reach, then we're going to go past ourselves. We're going to go beyond our trial, beyond our tribulation, beyond what we're going through to see them come to know Jesus. You give what you're passionate to. I can tell you what you're passionate about by what you spend your money on. That tells me clearly, if you're into cars, guess what you're going to spend your money on? Cars. If you've got a wife, you know what you're going to spend your money on. You know, you can tell, your bank statement is not an economic statement, it's a moral statement. It tells you what you're passionate about. If you're passionate about the things of God, well, you invest into the kingdom of God. You put into what you're passionate about. And if we're going to see God's kingdom explode to another level, we're not just going to have to drop a little bit in there, we've got to get passionate and we're going to even see investment into the kingdom of God with our time, our gifts and talents, and our treasures. Obedience is doing stuff because you have to. Passion is a willingness, a choosing to do what God's called you to do. And, you know, I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And it says this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen to this part. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we've got Jesus where he goes to the cross and it says he counts it as joy. I mean, we're not talking about fun. We know that. Being nailed to a cross is one of the most extremely painful ways to die that mankind has come up with. So we understand that it's not fun to be going to the cross, yet Jesus counted it as joy. And the reason he counted it as joy, because he had his eyes on the prize of the eons of time. He saw you, he saw me, he saw the millions of people in between. And he says, I'm going past my personal pain, because I'm passionate about every person that's ever going to be born, every person that's ever going to live on the earth, and I'm prepared to give up all that I am and all that I have that I can reach those ones and give them life and life more abundantly. The passion of God has always been people, and therefore to you and I, it's got to be that same passion. His eyes were on the prize. He saw us, and as he bled on that cross, as he gave himself up, he saw the joy of the return, the joy of the harvest. Passion always pushes you past your pain. Passion always pushes you past self into the place of other people. Let's not be just dutiful about being a part of the kingdom of God. Let's be passionate people, passionate followers of him that set the pathway in front of us.